Proverbs chapter number 10, as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 10, we're going to start reading tonight with verse number 15. The rich man's wealth is a strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Verse 16, labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked is sin. Verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. I want to talk today, of course, on our study in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 10. These are wonderful sections of scripture that we are looking at. They're antithetic statements that we're looking at, where one statement is one way, one positive statement, the other one's an absolute opposite statement or a negative statement. And we're going to continue to look at that. That's the way the rest of the book of Proverbs is. So, again, we're not going to study every verse in every chapter, but we're going to look at truths, I believe, that will change our lives, because that's what these are. One-line statements of how to make wisdom and understanding a regular part of our everyday, ordinary life. So these are very practical applications that God is giving you and I throughout the rest of the book of Proverbs. So let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless our study. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being so wise a God that you knew we'd need this step-by-step directions to know how to live our life for your honor and your glory. So guide us and direct us and help it to be real to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15. It says again, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Well, here we see destruction. In the verse, we see in verse 15, a man's wealth is a strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So we see that the two opposites are wealth and being poor, wealthy and poor. God's not against money. God's not against you having money. God's not against me having money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But wealth, a rich man's wealth is in his strong city. And the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So why do the poor people get destroyed? Because their poverty. Now, how do the poor people get poor? By spending their money on a bunch of things they don't really need. We get money. We go out and see things. We buy things. We don't need things. And then life goes on. We're all guilty. There's all of us that are guilty of that. Well, wealthy people, poor people. However, people in poverty don't understand that we must live within our means and develop a savings and put money away and develop things. So I see that. That's the first thing I see. I also notice this in this psalm. I see, don't get things at the expenses of somebody else. Don't get things by the expense of somebody else. A rich man's wealth is a strong city. So he's built something. Build something. Don't take something from someone else thinking you're building something, because to take something from someone else isn't building anything, but causing everyone to be in poverty. So the philosophy that rules our world today is, and it's all over Europe, and it's coming to America extremely strong at this time, is that punish those who are prosperous by taking it away from them and give it to the lazy, good-for-nothing person who lives in poverty because he doesn't do anything. That is not the proper philosophy that God teaches you and I. He's teaching us that we need to work for what we get. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Money draws money. Bills draw bills. So we need to make sure that we learn how to overcome our poverty with things. Now, I'm not saying we're all supposed to be wealthy, rich, lucrative people. I'm just saying that God's telling us to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. When it comes to our finances, finances just don't happen. They're planned. We got to think them through. So why do we have financial problems oftentimes? Because we keep living in our poverty. We keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. And we're all guilty of that. And so we need to make sure that we get ourselves stabilized. Amen. And to do that, we have to make sure that we become a strong city in our wealth. In other words, use it wisely, carefully, build it. Make it strong, alright? All right, verse number 16, the labor of the righteous tend to life. But the fruit of the wicked is to sin. So So we got rich, righteous and wicked, two opposites that's being stated here. Righteousness tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked is to sin. So the result of being wicked is sin. Fruit. That's what you're bearing. Everything bears some kind of fruit. And so, if we want the righteous kind of fruit, if we want the right kind of fruit in our life, then we don't want to have a wickedness there. We want to live righteously. Because righteous tendeth to life. It gives life. You know what the result of sin is? The wages of sin is death. So here we have two complete opposites then. Righteousness brings life. Wickedness brings sin and death. Because the end of sin is always death. Destruction. So I want to live, and I want to bring more people to life. So what I want to do is tend to live righteously. Living righteously means living right. Live right. How do we live right? By living by God's perspective, not our perspective. Living according to God's view, God's opinion. Accepting it, comprehending it, and applying it to our life. So it's important then that we understand that that is the way that brings other people to life. Not just us, but others. Do you want to see folks go to heaven? Would you like to see your friends and neighbors and co-workers go to heaven? Would you like to see your schoolmates go to heaven? Would you like to see your family go to heaven? They need to hear the gospel message. Well, how are they going to get life if all we're doing is sowing wickedness? Remember, wickedness is sin intending to hurt somebody else. So when I gossip, I'm sowing wickedness that brings sin and ends up with death. So let's say that you're with a group of unsaved family members or friends or co-workers or schoolmates. And all of a sudden you start to talk negatively and gossip about somebody. We're sowing the seeds of discord. We're wickedly speaking because we're intending to hurt somebody by our speech. And instead of leading them to life, we're leading them to sin and to death. And there's two deaths, a physical death and a spiritual death. And that spiritual death is in hell forever. And what we're doing is we're leading our family and our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, our co-workers, our schoolmates in the wrong direction because we're not living righteously. That doesn't mean live better than anybody else. That just means living according to God's direction. So, if I want to stop gossip, don't talk about people like that. Amen?
Amen.
And so that'll change the direction. So how can I win people to Christ? By living right. By speaking right. By behaving right. Getting away from that which is wicked, which is intentionally using sin to harm somebody else. And live right and endure wrong. I want to encourage everybody to go out and get a book one of these days called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And read that thing. Read it and then read it. You ought to read it every other year or every couple years. You ought to read it. Get it a part of your life so that we can see what people have stood for over the generations and how we don't have to stand for anything. We just need to live right. We need to live right. And so if we'll live right, we'll bring other people to us. And as those people went through persecution after persecution and death after death and slaughter after slaughter because they stood right, Christianity grew stronger than anything in the world. And now look at Christianity. Very little persecution, very little growth. Why? Because we dwell in sin. We need to dwell in righteousness. So they had to take a stand. They either had to deny Christ, deny salvation, deny the Bible, and serve pagan gods, because that's what the command was for them in many cases in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And so we need to realize that we need to stand up in our generation and just do right. Do right. Bob Jones Sr., a man who started Bob Jones University, was a Presbyterian preacher for many years. Evangelist, and he used to say, do right, no matter what, do right. Do right till the stars fall, do right. Do right. When everything's wrong, do right. And it's important for Christians to live doing right. All right. Verse number 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. But the fruit... Oh, we just read that one, didn't we? Verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. The word reproof means correction. Remember that? We've learned that long time ago. That's one of the main words we'll find repeated over and over again through the book of Proverbs. The word reproof means to be corrected, but he that refuses to be corrected erreth. And we'll, so let's take a look. Let's see the two statements here. He that is in the way of life keepeth instruction, and he that refuseth. So one's keeping, one's refusing. One is keeping, one is refusing. One keeping the right life. He that is in the way of life. That way, the word way there means in a lifestyle, lives in the way. That means the direction they're going is the right direction. Okay? So that word way would be like our road, a word road or street. That's where they are. They're on that street. They're on the street of righteousness. The way of life, that's what they're doing. That keepeth instruction. So instruction, let's take a look, let's see. We learned that word a long time ago in the beginning of our study. The word instruction is repeated over and over and over again. Instruction means this. It comes from the word in the Hebrew which means chastisement. Reproof. Isn't that interesting? That the, if we look at the word here in verse 17, one is reproof and the other one is instruction, and they both mean the same thing. One keeps his correction and allows it to correct his life. The other one rejects it and ends up then destroying his life. So it's important that we learn to correct. What kind of correction is there? Well, it's easy when you're a child to understand what correction is. It's when we become adults. We don't want to correct our life. I had someone say to me one time, I don't like to watch what I say. I just say whatever comes to my mind. And I said, and that's your problem. But I like it that way. No one's going to stop me. You know what they're saying? I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to realize that what I need to do is be careful what I say. If folks don't like it, that's just too bad. That's what they said. And I thought, what a heartache they're making for themselves. Not for me, but for themselves. And that heartache will spread to their children and to their grandchildren, because they've decided not to accept correction. They decided not to accept reproof. And that's a destructive thing. It leads to death. He that is in the way of life keepeth instruction. So the opposite of way of life is the way of death. And he that refuseth reproof erreth. Why? He's going the wrong direction. All right? Verse number 18. So it's a very individual thing, isn't it? Each one of these statements are very personal, very applicable to daily life. That's what we see now in the book of Proverbs, verse 18. He that hath hidden hatred, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters slander is a fool. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Okay, so we see in these two verses are tied into one statement. It's all talking about talk. It's all about the same thing. If we hate the other people on the inside, and then we lie about things, what's on the inside comes out. Okay, what's inside of you then is going to come out. You can't hide it with lying lips, and you become an utter slanderer, and you're a fool. You're going to slander. That means to hurt someone's reputation. In the state of Ohio, for example, where we live, the slander laws are very liberal. When you slander somebody, you're trying to hurt their reputation and their person. Trying to hurt them on purpose, verbally. And God says we're foolish when we do that. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, we need to quit talking so much sometimes. Sometimes we just keep on talking and keep on talking and keep on talking, and we say things that we shouldn't say, and we talk about people we shouldn't talk about, when it was better off just not to say anything. We have to think about what the Bible is constantly telling us. If I already know that someone's not going to take reproof, then why waste your breath? Let's take a look. Let's back up just a little bit into chapter number 9. Let's look at verse number 9 of chapter number 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he shall increase learning. Well, that makes sense to me. But look now what it says in verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. So sometimes we just need to realize that we're just wasting our breath. And it's better to say nothing than to say everything you know. You know, sometimes you look a lot wiser when you don't say anything than when you say something. I find this to be a challenge sometimes in the generation in which we live in, because we live in the texting generation. Okay? And people will text. And you say to yourself, should I say something back? Should I not say something back? Should I send a smiley face? Should I send a frowny face? Should I say, what should I say? And sometimes you just don't know what to say. Because sometimes it's the wisest thing to do is not to say anything at all. I heard my mama say a long time ago when I was a boy, sometimes, Doug, it's better to keep your mouth shut and prove to everybody that you're not a fool than to open up your mouth and let everybody know that you are. I think that's really true there. That's a perfect application of what's being said in these two verses. So, the book of Proverbs now is starting to become very practical. Look in verse 20, because this is all tied together. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is worth little. So here, we're learning that if we watch how we say things, when we say things, we say it at the right time, in the right way, and say it to the right people who are willing to listen and be changed, then our speech is choice silver, becomes very valuable. But if all you do is run your mouth and run your mouth and run your mouth and run your mouth and run your mouth, when you really have something valuable to say, nobody's going to listen anyway. Because of all the other things you said that had no value. And the heart of the wicked is worth little. So one who is using wickedness, remember, wickedness is sin with the intent of harming someone else. So when we use our speech with the intent of harming somebody else, we're being wicked, and the Bible says we're worth little. So if you want your words to count, use them wisely. Use them wisely. So we're going to stop and we'll look at verse 21 and try to finish up the chapter next week. All right, Father, thank you now for what we've learned. Holy Spirit, I ask that you help us to become real. Help us to see day by day how we can use these proverbs that you've given us as one-liners, though they are. They're statements of how to live. Help them to become a part of our life day by day as we go on living for you. Help us to use our words carefully. Help us to choose them wisely. Father, I think about Ricky Fox, your servant who just passed away. I never heard him say anything hurtful or harmful about or to others. It doesn't mean he didn't preach strong. That didn't mean that he didn't stand for you. It means he was cautious in what he said on a personal basis. That's a lesson for all of us to learn. So help us to learn this truth. Even in me, myself, I need to apply this to my life as well. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.